Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hello and welcome to the Chase Down Podcast. You are not hearing the dulcet tones of Justin Rowan as he's recovering with a 3 to 4 day hangover after his honeymoon, so we gave him the episode off. In his place is our unofficial third member of the podcast. I think you've been on enough that we can actually just call you that now. Ryan Morton. How you doing, Mort?
I wasn't prepared for that. I'm kind of crying, actually.
Well, we're not giving you any of the Patreon money.
That's the nicest thing anyone said about me. So
it was just really, it was really important that we laid down those ground rules. That while you are an important part of the team, you are not an official part of the team. Because if you were an official part of the team, we'd owe you money.
I mean, that's fine. So I my mother and my brother also called me the unofficial third member of the group. So
too real, man.
Right.
That's too real. So the Cavs are in a really weird spot, as are Cavs fans, as we just sort of wait and wait and sit for and just wait to see if our throats are going to get slit.
What? Who's waiting? No one's waiting. What are you talking about?
Yeah, this there is great. Not a lot of waiting. That's fair.
Colin Sexton Twitter has logged on. Actually, nobody has waited. Probably since like January, every day someone has tweeted or texted me or just been on the radio going, well, that's it. LeBron is gone.
That's very true.
The team's never going to be good again. I'm a very sad panda. Like literally every single day, and which is fine, but I just can't. I mean, you know me, I'm annoying as hell. Not me, man. My boss is the same way. The guy that owns my company, he's like, this is the end. Or maybe it's not, but F everything, you know, just be as terrible as possible.
I don't know. Like, are you interested?
Hell like, yeah.
Like, I'm not like on a macro scale, but like, are you interested in tracking like what's going on? Or are you just like,
oh, like in the daily, what does this mean about LeBron?
Yeah.
Oh, not one bit. Not at all. No.
I think you were.
Yeah, no, it's a massive waste of time. Like, in at least for me. And I think that's the disconnect between me and a lot of people in that, like, there's this emotional swing every day. Like, yesterday it was, hey, Paul George might stay in Oklahoma City. You know, what does this mean? Like, I don't know, man. Like, maybe he doesn't stay in Oklahoma. Like, I don't know. I just – the daily swing back and forth – waste of time. Don't care.
There is quite the swing. And I like caught myself having the same because unlike you, I do tweet through it. and I caught myself having like an accidental repeat take. Like you never like I got tweet deja vu.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no, I got to stop doing this to myself.
Exactly. Like every it's so weird because every late April, early May, I'll be tweeting about how the Raptors are trash. And it feels like I've done this before, like, man, I swear I just did this.
That's
like,
your Groundhog Day.
12 months ago. And 12 months ago, like, I swear I was just doing this like 12 months ago, right? So I definitely understand what you mean.
Except mine is more pathetic.
Well, and it's different. Like, I can't control what LeBron James is going to do. So why worry about it? Like, how can I let it affect as I'm going about my day, right? Like, oh, man, there's a story about LeBron. Maybe he'll leave. Maybe he won't.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, there's definitely something to that. I think we all just want clarity. That desire for clarity leads us to react really, really strong when we get these little tidbits. Oh, you know, like, it's like, like, it's like, even if it's a negative outcome, you grasp at that straw because, like, not knowing is so, like, paralyzing.
Right.
Because I was thinking about what we were going to talk about for the show. I mean,
Colin Sexton.
Yeah, we can talk about Colin Sexton, and we're going to get there.
Kevin Love.
But, like, it's like, so much could change.
Billy Preston.
In a week. Billy Preston.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Like, I like to focus on and talk about what I know and the things that we can't. And I've rant might be a strong word.
We'll call it a rant.
Yeah, I've complained before. Like, we spend so much time talking about, and as a collective, I mean this, not specifically you or really anybody. I think as a group of people that follow basketball, like, people are, you know, they're monitoring body language and they're talking about, man, this guy said this. I bet this person must be really offended. Or, man, this guy is not getting minutes in games. He, you know, he's never going to improve when we aren't watching practices. Like, we spend all this time inferring things and talking about things that we have no way of knowing. And we're just kind of putting, you know, applying our feelings to a situation. And to me, I think that's kind of a waste of time. And that doesn't mean it's a waste of time for other people to do it. People make a lot of money doing it. But it's
sure
just,
do.
Yeah, it's just not something that I can get myself to do in a lot of situations, unless it's about, like, the Celtics being trash or something, in which case I'm 100% in for inferring that actually Brad Stevens is bad. That's a joke. Please don't find me on Twitter. But I don't. Please don't.
Well, you're not a member of podcast Twitter, as
well. Yeah, but they listen. The show. Knows what I'm saying. They listen and they love Brad.
They love Brad. They love him so much.
Yeah, I'm just
no projection goes on there.
Zero 0%. Doc Rivers and Ty Lue are bad. All right.
White people.
Colin Sexton.
Yeah, let's talk Colin Sexton.
Are you excited? That's
not
a joke. I know you're not excited.
Not super excited. But, like, I'm also, like, I forget who I was talking to about this. I reserve the right to be 40% more wrong about draft guys because I don't watch them enough.
Well, and nobody knows, right? Like, it's a total crapshoot. Like, if anyone had any idea, guys like Carlos Boozer and Draymond Green, and obviously those are not the same type of player, but Boozer was incredibly good. He made an all-star team. You have all these really, really good players that go in the second round. And yeah, I mean, you have all these guys that show amazing growth. So if anyone 100% knew what the hell they were doing or what the hell they were talking about, it wouldn't be interesting.
Here's my concern with Sexton from watching his game and watching his style of play. I'm worried that, like,
it'll be too easy.
No. I'm worried that his upside is, yeah, he's pretty good, but who gives a shit? Like the best version of Reggie Jackson was. Like, yeah, that was a pretty good player, but, like, his style wouldn't hold up as, like, you always talk about this as one of your, like, pet topics is, like, guys who can thrive on mediocre teams, but then don't look great on good teams. And I'm worried that might be Sexton.
Maybe. And I think the difference is going to be, as I'm looking at him, and obviously my exposure is limited because, you know, after the fact, I have no interest in watching college basketball, but now this guy's on the Cavs and I'm watching, you know, condensed versions of games, stuff like that. So, from a personality standpoint and from, you know, a style standpoint, I think he's a guy that will thrive in transition. And I think there is space for that in today's NBA. I think he's a guy that will thrive defensively in creating transition opportunities. And I think there's a place for that. So, you know, currently he's not a great shooter, but I mean, that's important, but is it the end all be all? You know, I hear people are in my ear lying about John Wall every single day.
You mean you in your own ear about him since you've trashed him his whole career?
Because, I mean, come on, man, you exist on the internet. Yeah. Until this year, when the Wizards were just not interesting at all, even in their failure, people, I mean, every year, it's like, man, John Wall, is he the best two-way player? So that is my fear for Colin Sexton, that he's so uninteresting and good, but not superlative, that we have to invent things like the best two-way point guard to talk about him.
I saw a really funny tweet, and I'm gonna do the thing where you break the rule. But I made a joke about how, because they traded for Austin Rivers today. I said he's not well liked by his peers and thinks he's a lot better than he is, so he's gonna fit in great in Washington. But someone, which is okay.
But we know, like, we have proof guys don't like Rivers. Like,
yeah. But
people are always trying to clown him and talking about him and like push him around on the court.
That's not the funny part, though. I was proud of the tweet. Don't get me wrong. But a guy, someone responded to my tweet with best three man two way backcourt in the league.
That's pretty great. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's what you notice people doing, right? When a guy is good, but
You have to like come up with it. You have to like somehow like it. You know what it is? It's like when those guys on Fox Sports like use a list of like seven statistics with really weird qualifiers to like make their case. Like that's what that is. Just
the Thad Young picture. He had 13.4 points, 5.8 assists, and 8.6 rebounds a game.
That's also
Al Horford an MVP vote.
But yeah, I think I like his personality, and you hear really good stuff that he's actually like a good dude while also being a killer, which is kind of an interesting paradigm.
So they're at 8, right? And they obviously, at least to me, cannot make a large scale trade without knowing what LeBron is going to do. And LeBron is not going to tell them what he's going to do. You know, the obvious move is probably trying to find something for Memphis's pick and taking Chandler Parsons. You probably can't get Atlanta's because you already owe a 2019 pick, so you can't convey a future one better than Dallas can because their pick's probably going to be all right. So, like, what can you do? You're at 8. You pretty much have to stay at 8. If you trade for Kemba Walker and LeBron leaves, that's stupid because Kemba Walker's expiring. So,
I think that, like, my instinct, even though I don't love Sexton as a player, has never really been to clown the Cavs for that one. And I actually don't think many people have. Some have. But, like, my instinct was, like, damn, that means they really couldn't make a trade.
But it's just tough.
It's tough when you're dealt a losing hand, and like this offseason is the manifestation of a losing hand.
Right, and there are two trades, right? Like two things that would make them better while dealing your best piece. And Kevin Love's probably their best trade piece. He's their best player, other than LeBron, by far. And he's an expiring large contract, but the only guys you could trade him for and still get better are probably Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. So what's, trade Love.
And also, like, the fact of the matter is, like, these teams, like the Hornets even, like, they know for damn sure that the Cavs have to make a move and thus are going to ask for the moon.
Right.
Like, trade negotiations don't happen in a vacuum here.
Right. So, I mean, you're screwed from all sides. So given, the player I wanted the most and I would say attainable because he went directly a pick before would be Wendell Carter. I think
that was a bummer. That was one I think we all could have agreed on for the most part.
I think everybody would have loved Carter, but
I think they already do, Mort.
I think people are going to be really in on Sexton. I mean, come on, he called Penny Hardaway's son trash to Penny Hardaway with his son on the court. Like, his son is on the court and Penny is coaching, and he told him his son is trash when his son's standing right next to him.
Low-key cruel.
Yeah, I mean, you have the stare downs, and I don't know, the stuff that people don't like, I think, can improve. You know, like, his decision-making has to get a lot better. Well, yeah, I mean, he's 19. Everyone's decision-making has to get a lot better. I was breaking into pools and skinny dipping at 19, like, you know.
That's nice, Martin.
Hey, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Valley.
I get it.
Shooting.
I get the concerns. The shooting's a concern.
He's a good free throw shooter.
Wish the guy was a little bit taller. That's one where I'm like, damn. Like, if you were 6'2 instead of 6 foot even, that kind of stuff matters.
Well, you got.
But he does have long arms.
Wingspan is the really important one. I think wingspan is more important than anything.
Can I make a contrarian take about wingspan?
Oh.
Based on almost nothing. So I'm ready to get destroyed on this one.
Right.
But I think we overvalue wingspan.
False.
As a way to explain away height.
Nope.
So, but my theory is that, like, level of, like, the level your shoulders are at relative to your competition matters. Matters when you're battling. It matters when you're elevating. It matters to the angles you go up with.
Potentially. When you challenge a shot, what are you using? Are you using your hand?
I'm talking, I think.
Are you using your hand?
Yes. I think that on defense, wingspan trumps it a little bit.
Well, that's a lot, you know.
But on offense, I would say we undervalue, like.
Well, yeah, being able to see over the defense.
Yeah. And but a lot of the times you have to admit people are like, oh yeah, he's like 5'8", but he's got like a 6'5" wingspan. It's like, well, that doesn't mean it's equivalent as a 6'1" person with a 6'5" wingspan. Like, it's still better to be taller.
Well, yeah, but I think defensively wingspan is what matters because that's how you're challenging shots. It's how you're getting into passing lanes. So to me, the difference between a 6'1" person and a 5'7" person with the same wingspan is negligible defensively. Offensively, yeah. I mean, you're talking about seeing over the defense. You're talking about finding angles to shots. Although, you know, when you're shorter, you get beneficial whistles sometimes just for being small. So that happens. But I don't know. I mean, I think, man, I think he's going to be really good. And someone from the back, that back half of the top 10 has to be a star. And why not? Why not the guy that, you know, wants it? And I'm sure they all want it.
Unless yeah, I mean, some... I think that he is better. I think he's better optimized for a post LeBron existence. Like, we were talking before this about, you know, his rookie of the year odds. Like, if you think LeBron's going to leave, what did you say he was at right now?
The first odds I saw posted were 22-1.
22-1 would be pretty good for a guy who might be the only person on the team who can dribble.
Right. Well, I mean, they're probably going to be stuck. Well, no, they shouldn't be stuck with George Hill because
he should have some pretty positive trade value.
Right. Let's look at the odds. This is NBC. NBC Sports Philadelphia, whatever the hell that means. But and this is 3 days ago. So the line might have moved. But yeah, as of 3 days ago, he's listed at 22-1. Which,
those are good odds, and certainly worth looking at. And if you are a gambling man or woman, you should probably put in that bet now if you think LeBron's going to leave, because those odds probably will change, I imagine.
And I think the veterans the Cavs have would be incredibly important for him as well, right? Like, can you imagine as someone who needs to fix their shot, he had really good insight onto his own shot. He explained exactly what the problem with it was. And it's that, you know, that's he has a bit of a dip in his left hand. I think it's his left hand. It might have been his right hand. No, he's right-handed. his hand kind of comes over the ball, right? So mentioning that in an interview was a great sign. But having Kyle Korver on your team while also acknowledging that you need to adjust your shot and seeing what the problem with it is should probably be invaluable.
I would agree. I'm curious if all these veterans are going to be on the team next year.
Well, yeah. And I think that keeping Korver around, I mean, I don't think that you're going to get an asset for him that's going to outweigh the kind of impact he can have on your top pick.
That's probably fair.
No one's going to give you a first. Like, he can't even get on the court against, you know, Golden State or Boston. He's completely ineffective.
Yeah.
And that probably extends to Houston as well.
I would agree with that. I mean, he's a great weapon against 25 teams.
Right.
So, you know, I think someone would talk themselves into him for something, you know. The space where I think you might see Korver get positive value in a trade is one of those, like, a team, like, gives a pick to give the Cavs a bad contract or something, but to sweeten the deal to like match that salary, you would give Korver something like that. But I do want to kind of move into potential post LeBron strategies, because I know you are very anti blow it up.
I am. And this is another one the owner of my company yells at me about a lot, because he is full on. Be as bad as you can. There's no incentive. You know, I'm watching this for titles and everything in between is just a waste of my time. And that's just not a space that I exist in. Like, I'm watching basketball for great moments, right? And even when the Cavs sucked, like, they had a lot of really awesome moments. You had the 25 games of Anderson Varejao looking like an all-star. You had Deion Waiters and Kyrie Irving hitting game winners. Like, you had a lot of interesting things happen that I still think about. The J.J. Hickson block on Blake Griffin during a 26-game win streak is something people still look at fondly. And I think the way you build a connection to your team and to your brand is by having guys long-term and accumulating moments. And LeBron has been here for 4 years. Obviously, he was here for seven before that. The guys that have also been here on that short-term time, you know, particularly Kevin Love and J.R. Smith, I think just cutting bait there and making it a short stay would be pretty silly. Like, what's your connection? LeBron leaves again, and, well, I guess the other side of that is nobody likes Kevin and J.R. for some reason anyway. Right. Like, everyone, people just complain about him constantly, even though they are part of the best Cavs team we've ever seen, which is confusing. But I just think cutting those guys and taking them from potential long term, you know, franchise legends to, oh, yeah, Kevin Love, he was here for 4 years. He won a title. Now he's, you know, playing the last 9 years of his career in, you know, Sacramento or wherever the hell they would send him to. I think that's really short-sighted, and it's bad branding. And as a fan, I would feel slighted in that, you know, like, I want the guys from 2016 here as long as they can be here and be somewhat helpful, or at least be interesting to see. And I think that that wouldn't be great to just cut bait and try to tank. Like, it'd make them the Florida Marlins, which I'm not interested in.
Yeah, I think people – the tanking conversation has really changed the way, because people say, oh, I'm here to watch championships, but like, no, you're not. You're here, you watch your favorite team because you like watching them every day.
Right.
Like, so to actively, like, necessarily root for the 3% chance that you win a championship,
it's annoying.
It's just a weird mentality. Like, I get that why front offices do it. I don't get why, like, a fan base, like, roots for it so hard. With that said, I also, like, in the same way that, you know, from a branding perspective, we feel a connection to Kevin Love and J.R. Smith and those guys, part of me also, like, wants to do right by them. Like, if Kevin Love, like, would like to go somewhere and try to win a championship. And like, you know, like let's say like Portland wanted him or something, like I don't think see any harm in like sending him off for something good, because I think he's earned that too. It's not as easy as just sentimentality though, more, and that's what I wanted to talk about, because I also maybe we're just getting a little older, so we like we're just a little more sentimental than we used to be
back in my day.
Like, because I am very sentimental about those guys, and like that's what has bummed me out a lot about the LeBron leaving conversation, is because it's like the next question, and it has to at least be discussed, right? Is like, do you trade Kevin? And it's like, what bums me out about it is like Kevin didn't ask out. Kevin didn't want to leave. Kevin wanted to stay on this team with LeBron forever. And it's like, he's like just a casualty of it. And he's meant so much to us as Cavs fans. That it's like, well, us, me and you, not everyone. I will say, like, I do think like the narrative flipped on Kevin after 2016. And only the dumbest of the dumb dumbs, like, still shit on Kevin Love.
I would agree with that, yeah.
And it's like, your average fan might shit on Kevin Love.
Yeah, they do. Like, he averaged, like, 19 and 11 in the finals, and I still get the every single day. Or anytime he comes up, well, he always disappears in the playoffs. Like, what playoffs are you watching, man?
I'm just not super interested in like engaging with the lowest common denominator, but there was like a stretch where like actual basketball Twitter, like actual diehards hated Kevin Love. I think that time has passed. But the point is, it's not just sentimental though, because we have future considerations to look at. One of which is that the Cavs will owe their first round pick to Atlanta if it doesn't fall within 1 through 10 in the draft. Does that affect your mentality on keeping a guy who might get you just good enough to pick 12th?
Not really.
Really?
I mean, they've changed the tanking rules, and you know, it's still a lottery, and people find stars everywhere.
What I'm saying is they don't even get the damn pick. if it falls at 11, 12, 13, 14.
I don't know, man. Like, so you have to be really bad for – what is the – it's 2021, right? Like, they have to be in the top 10 for 2 years, and then
– it turns into a 2 seconds.
Yeah.
So hypothetically, if things play out right, they will have given up no firsts in that trade. But incidentally, because they have to give up their 21 and 22 second rounders if it doesn't convey, which means they will have traded away their 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, and 2022, and 2024 second round picks.
You know?
The last one's a swap, apparently. But that's hilarious.
Second rounders, man. Who needs them, right? I don't know, man. It would just be hard. And I think it'd be... like, I'm just not interested in turning the whole thing over. And that's just kind of how it is. And maybe that's dumb. But I think the whiplash of that is something that would suck. And I think we had these guys. Man, they're doing good elsewhere. I hope – you know, I mean, draft picks are not a certainty. And who's to say, like, oh, yeah, we've got this guy and he'll keep you – he's just enough to keep you picking 12th.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe they're mediocre next year, and in the 2020 draft, they find someone at 12 that is more helpful than no Kevin Love and, you know, the sixth pick that could be a Jason Thompson, for example, because I'm picking on Sacramento. I don't know. I just, you know, you have a certainty, you have a cost certainty, you have a talent certainty, and you could be bad and maybe never recover. Or you could have talented players, and it's not black and white, but for me, it's, you know, you go the Dallas route and you're kind of good, you're kind of bad, you're kind of in between, and you pick your spots. I mean, they got Dennis Smith Jr. Now they suck this year. They still have Dirk, and they got Doncic, who is probably going to be awesome. Might not be, but that's how I would go. I would just go the Dallas route of keeping guys hanging around.
Yeah, I think the big factor that isn't talked about for this stuff is that not all front offices and not all ownership situations are made equal, my friend. And a Dan Gilbert front office's likelihood of finding superstar talent with that seventh or sixth pick in the draft after you trade Kevin Love and building a healthy culture again,
yeah,
not great comparatively. And that the fact that I have so little faith in this organization to not be the Kings for the foreseeable future has me especially willing to hang on to sentimentality.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that stuff's... Who knows, man? They backed their way into Kyrie and into LeBron again and into Kevin Love. And
a lot of this isn't happening if LeBron was born anywhere other than Akron.
Who knows? Why worry about that, you know?
It's not about worrying about it. It's just taking stock of what you'd rather see, right? And because I don't have a ton of faith in their ability to turn this around in the near future under current ownership, based on evidence, my instinct is to say, hey, well, let's ride out the good times as long as we can. Keep these guys that meant a lot to us. And move forward from there. That's my point.
Okay. I mean, I think that makes sense.
It's not to be a whiner about what's coming next. It's from a value perspective.
This doesn't happen if LeBron isn't from here. It's just always been an annoying argument. It's okay, well, he is. And it's not to say that you're being annoying with it.
I'm just saying, like, it's not replicable. Times.
Who knows?
What do you mean, who knows?
Sure, maybe it's replicable. Maybe, I mean, when the floods start and the droughts happen, all of a sudden Cleveland is popping. It's the place to be. Who knows?
I think the difference between what I'm saying and the argument you're saying annoys you is that it exists as a slight on the city of Cleveland externally. And what I'm saying is the Cavs organization didn't deserve to get him back based on the work they had done.
Well, they had Kyrie Irving. They had Tristan Thompson.
Yeah.
I mean, they had players.
They did.
They had more opportunities, but they had the assets to trade for Kevin Love, and they had drafted Kyrie Irving and Tristan Thompson.
That's fair.
They had the assets to, you know, Timo wasn't a factor the year they won, but he was a factor the year they got to the finals the first time.
It is worth saying that, like, while, like, it's crazier that he came back because of the, you know, the backlash from the decision, and especially the Dan Gilbert letter, maybe the backlash isn't as crazy if he wasn't from Akron.
Right.
So
I don't think it would have been.
I always thought that the backlash, like, in a lot of ways was, like, Nike's fault for building an entire campaign around him being a savior and a messiah. Like, we were told that we had an entire fan base of already irrational people, because fans are inherently irrational, bought and were sold and bought in very heavily to the idea that they got a messiah.
Right.
Witness, like, all these, like, biblical, like, kind of, like, terminology was used. And then he left, and they were like, wait, what?
Yeah, there's definitely some truth to that, I think.
And also, fans are crazy.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. They had the pieces. If they didn't have the pieces for him to come back, you know, he wouldn't have come back. If they didn't have the pieces to win, and they traded for JR and Kevin, but they drafted Tristan, they drafted Kyrie, they signed Matthew Dellavedova, who played minutes. He wasn't important like Timo when they won, but he, you know, they had guys that were attractive for him to come back. I don't think he would have come back if they had literally nothing of value.
Yeah.
So
it certainly wasn't an entirely active charity. I do think it mattered to him to come back and like make home home again.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like he was doing it out of the goodness of his heart either. Like he's probably the most pragmatic superstar of all time.
But, and that would be the other part, you know, like, oh, well, he wanted to be on good terms with his hometown. He already was. Like, he wasn't a pariah in Akron. I don't think he could care less about, maybe he could, I don't know. I don't know that Northeast Ohio as a whole is incredibly important.
You don't think that mattered to him? I know, like, that's what he used to distance himself in the wake of the decision, which is like, I'm from Akron. I'm not from Cleveland.
Exactly. Yeah, right. I don't know that it was all that big a deal. Maybe it was, though. I don't know.
Winning that's the area his we're getting reaction into. After winning kind of tells me a different story.
Maybe.
Like, because he didn't cry like that in Miami.
Or was he crying? And this is the unknowable, which is what I hate. But maybe it was just a legacy moment. It's like, finally, I'm cemented as the GOAT. Also, this is for you. But who knows? I mean, you know, there's no way of knowing any of this crap.
Yeah, it's obviously not easy.
It's Billy Preston season, goddammit.
Yeah, Cavs Twitter's really latching on to that guy on the strength of one vine.
It's great. I mean, I think it's more about him just being a five-star Kansas recruit. Like, oh, yeah, he was supposed to be good, and some BS kept him out. And I think that's fair. You know, you have a guy that would probably have been a mid-first-round pick if not for not playing at all. But there's and I can't even remember his name, but there's a kid from Florida that the same thing happened to, and he's a complete bust. So I don't think he even plays. Man, what the hell is his name?
I don't remember. So.
You know who I'm talking about, right?
I think so.
He's like a 3-4, more towards a 4.
I can't remember. This isn't good radio. We should just move on.
Okay.
Yeah. One thing that would be nice about a post-LeBron era would be getting to have a little fun at Summer League again. Like,
hell yeah.
You actually can, like, because I remember, like, some of your reports during the years where, like, it was Kay Felder and nothing else.
Oh, yeah. Those games were terrible to watch. They were the least interesting bit of anything I've ever seen. They actually motivated me not to apply for a credential this year. And now, of course, the team looks like it'll be pretty interesting. But and the fact that we're unlikely, or I'm unlikely, to get them. And I think as a whole, like, I don't know, it's just getting harder and harder. And I think that's part of why they're talking about moving it to a different venue, because it's become this global thing and there's never enough space. But there's only not enough space for like 2 days. And then there's more space than you could ever need. So it's weird. But I mean, the Kay Felder years were miserable.
Yeah. The reports were tough to read, and I'm sure tough to write.
Who cares, right?
Yeah, because like, who gives a shit, ultimately?
I mean, did you ever look at some of the numbers on those? There was one, and I went back and I looked at the track data, and it had gotten like 110 clicks. It's like, why am I here? Like, and the Cavs always played at these like weird off times where everyone's going out to dinner, or they're, you know, we're going to go to the club, well, pregame, you know, and okay, well, Cavs game, they're playing the Nets. I got to see Rondae Hollis-Jefferson and Joe Harris. Like, it's just a waste.
It's not great. But it should be fun moving forward, at least with Jetty and Sexton and Preston. Yeah. And I'm interested in year two Jetty, man. I really am. I wonder if he can, like, develop a little trust from Lou, LeBron, or no. Because what's so weird about Jetty getting completely locked out in the postseason rotation, which, one, makes sense. He's a rookie. Can't really shoot that well. Whatever. But, like, LeBron clearly really liked him.
Yeah.
And Lou really pretty clearly liked him because he's the only guy who played hard.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any dislike. It's, hey, man, you can't shoot. Like, we saw that Sixers game at the end of the year.
Oh, where, man, he's those just were tough.
Hammering away on the rim.
I wonder how much that game, now that you say that, affected his chances at a rotation spot.
I think it killed it. I mean, I think they were precarious anyway. But his upside as a shooter is pretty nil. And, yeah, I mean, that... just watching him, smart teams are going to replicate that. You know, everyone knows that. You couldn't put him out there. And I think you run the risk of a Nick Anderson moment by putting him out there and letting him, you know, they score, say they lose to the Celtics and he's like 1 of 10 from three and just totally biffs the entire night. Like, I think you run the risk of damaging him more than you're helping him by, you know, putting him out there to do that.
Yeah, what was interesting about him is, like, he had stretches where his three looked really good and really confident, but then he never got to the point where he was going to take one, and I thought, okay, this one's going.
Right.
But
yeah,
I do
no,
think he has potential long-term as a shooter. I think he's cleaned up his form a lot even since playing in Europe. So I think that's something he can develop, at least to be a catch-and-shoot guy. Like, he's never going to be going off picks and stuff.
But no, yeah, I think he's got – I mean, it looks a lot smoother. And, I mean, there's so much going on in year one of an NBA career that it's easier, you know, in year two just to kind of focus on a few different things and, you know, the jump shot being one of them.
Getting stronger and shooting better and maybe dribbling a little. Those are the three.
We don't need to get too carried away.
Yeah, the getting stronger would be really nice because, I mean, I think it might have been the same Sixers game, might have been a different one, but do you remember when Ben Simmons just walked him down to the rim in the post on like three straight possessions? Oh, that was a tough Jetty game, man. In a season without very many tough Jetty games, like most part when he got in, he was like pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, he was, yeah. So I think there's a lot of potential there. And,
well, he'll get a lot of minutes when he's starting next year.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it'll be a fun. I think it'll be a fun to see.
A
I
fun
think it'll
project.
Be interesting. Yeah, you'll have a lot of guys that, you know, they're fun.
Yeah. I think that even if the team isn't much better than the team after LeBron left the first time, they're going to be more interesting to watch.
Oh, most definitely. It'd be hard not to be.
Now, I mean, I think if they still have Kevin Love, they're going to be much better than the other team. The other team lost 26 games in a row. But, yeah, I just think it'll be nice having a couple of, like, even if I don't love Sexton's play style, like, he's something just to tune in for. And, like, that matters, ultimately, quite a bit. Because it, like, when you just, like, watching Jamario Moon and Jeremy Cargo...
Oh, man. Those are some Cavs legends.
Some Cavs legends. Samardo Samuels.
Who can forget? Yeah, Samardo Samuels always, for some reason, killing the Knicks. There's so many, see? So many amazing Cavs moments.
You know who I was so in on was Torrence Kinsey. I thought he could play.
Oh, man. Yeah, I thought he could be really good.
He couldn't, ultimately.
He's no Billy Preston. But...
No Billy Preston. I'll tell you what. He's Billy Preston's our Hassan Whiteside. You know what I was thinking about with Whiteside, though? Because everyone just, like, fucking hates him. And mostly rightfully so. But it's like, dude, he has been such a stunning success, really.
Well, until he got paid, you know.
It's, yeah, hey,
he's
but, like,
amazing.
Come on.
Well, yeah. It's kind of like
playing
minimum
in Iraq. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's been an amazing success for what he was, and now he's paid for what he isn't. But yeah, as far as finding that talent, that was an amazing job.
That was crazy. Do you remember that one game where he had like 15 rebounds in the first quarter when he was like first blowing up? That was nuts. Like, I don't know, man. It's just funny how, like, I was just thinking about it from the perspective of, like, how quickly our narratives change from, like, what a crazy story to what a fucking bum.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's all related to, well, and attitude. You know, he's a
jerk, too.
Right. So.
But we knew he was a jerk.
Well, yeah, but when, I don't know, it's that untapped potential and, oh, he could be anything. Oh, okay, he needs to do this. Oh, man, he has no idea that he needs to that he needs to do this.
Fair. That's a good point. So. But, you know, that's guess that's the way it goes. And hopefully Billy Preston, I would love, let's just say this, I would love for Billy Preston to have a career as good as Hassan Whiteside.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that'd be massive.
What if, man? That's the kind of the fun thing about taking the cracks at guys like that. And I'd rather them do that than like nothing's worse than the guy they add to the summer league team that's like a 3-year G League vet. It's like
Holland is still playing.
A rebounding power forward. I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Oh man.
Why are we doing that?
Yeah, who was that guy?
Like Eric Moreland or something like that.
Hey, no, Eric.
Yeah, he's
Moreland
actually pretty good.
Yeah.
So it wasn't. But him.
No, they had a guy that. Man. And again, I'm killing the whole vibe, but.
Yeah, they've had a lot of those guys that are just.
They're
like,
picking up every like 6'7" really thick rebounder
power
with a little
forward
bit of touch.
That can't shoot.
Yeah.
Denting the backboard with their putbacks.
the
good college mid like energy big that never works out in the NBA.
Tyler Hansbrough.
Ugh, thank God. Hell, fucking Jack Cooley.
Oh man. Better than Tristan Thompson.
Than
he's
Tristan Thompson
replacement.
Legend.
What do you need Tristan Thompson for if you have Jack Cooley?
Hell of an offensive rebounding rate Jack Quilley had. Well, on that note, we should probably wrap because we are literally out of stuff to talk about while LeBron holds the future of the entire franchise hostage. Because I think we scraped the bottom of the barrel for topics here.
I mean, we got to Jack Quilley. The important takeaway is Colin Sexton will be very good. And if he's not very good, he'll at least be extremely interesting.
The Dion Waiters story.
Exactly. God, I miss Dion.
I know you do.
If you trade Kevin Love, you have to trade him for Dion.
You sure do. I agree. Bring Dion home. Move the island back to the mainland.
Exactly.
On that note, we are going to wrap. If you want to support the pod, please head to our Patreon at patreon.com/chasedownpodcast. Mort, are you a patron?
I'm certainly not. I apologize.
I know you are.
I'm not going to lie to you, man. I have not given a nickel to a podcast.
Nor should you, ultimately. We owe you, not the other way around.
Yeah, I'm not even getting a piece of the... What the... Let me pay for my own appearances.
I had a feeling this question would lead to a good bit, so I'm happy about it. So, yeah, please go to our Patreon. Please subscribe. If you pay up to $5 a month or more, you can... be in a very lively group chat that is exclusive to Chase Down patrons. We have a lot of fun in there. If you want to support in the unconventional way, please head to our iTunes, leave a review, a rating. That always helps. Oh, more. I'm sorry. I did have a question from the Discord.
Okay.
That I wanted to get to before we wrapped. What do you think about using our mini mid-level on Isaiah Thomas this offseason?
I'm incredibly angry. Why would someone say that? It's the worst idea I've ever heard. Never bring him back to this team ever.
Well, it was just to be mean to you. And then the other one was from our good friend Hayden. Less of a question, more of a comment. Tell Mort I loved him in School of Rock.
God damn it. Thank you. I take any compliments, even if they're not meant for me.
Appreciate you, Mort. Appreciate our listeners. And as always, go Cavs.